All right, here's your Friday football forecast as we take a look at the two big games this weekend. Saturday, Ohio State playing host to Iowa. Sunday, the Browns on the road at Green Bay. Let's start with the Buckeyes, who are 6-0, ranked number 3 in the coaches poll, 4 in the AP and the Harris poll. They've won 18 straight games, longest winning streak in the country. They're 16.5-point favorites over Iowa. The Hawkeyes come in 4-2 overall, 1-1 in the Big Ten. What do the Hawkeyes do well? They stop the run. They're only giving up 88.5 yards per game on the ground, and they have yet to give up a rushing touchdown this season. Why? Well, their D-line, pretty good size, 6'4", 284 on average, and they have maybe the best group of linebackers in the Big Ten this year with James Morris, Anthony Hitchens, and Christian Kirksey. Those three guys rely on the big uglies up front to absorb the blocks from the O-line, and then the linebackers get in there and make the plays, tackles for losses, sacks on quarterbacks, try and create some turnovers. So Ohio State's offensive line going to be tested this week, but Urban Meyer feels that is the strength of this Ohio State team this year. He loves his offensive line, and he thinks they'll be up to the challenge. Question is, will Braxton Miller be 100% and up for the challenge? Because in the Northwestern game, he finally admitted that his knee was not 100%, and maybe that led to him being very loose with the football. He turned it over 3 times in that win against Northwestern. They worked on that all week long with Braxton Miller, valuing the football, taking care of the football. So hopefully he'll be back to 100% this week. If not, then what they'll need to do is what they did against Northwestern. Turn and give the ball to Carlos Hyde. Ride Hyde to victory. That's what they did in that win at Northwestern. He ran for 168 yards and 3 touchdowns. He really loves the football. He wants to get the football more and more. Says he gets better as the game goes on when he gets more touches. And if Miller isn't 100%, you may see them trying to do that. But the weakness of this defense for Iowa is through the air. You can attack Iowa in the air, throwing the football, and that's why Braxton Miller needs to have a big game this week, because he could put up some big numbers, and this could be an easy game if the passing game and Braxton Miller are in sync, and he'll be looking for Philly Brown, Devin Smith, Evan Spencer, and maybe even Dontre Wilson coming out of the backfield on those jet sweeps or whatever it is, pitches, tosses. Well, not like Brandon Whedon's flip the other day, but you know what I mean. Getting the ball somehow, some way to Dontre Wilson and allow him to maybe make a big play, break one. I think the Buckeyes, Urban Meyer, they've been waiting for that from Wilson all season long. But it's an opportunity for Braxton Miller to have a big game throwing the football. So we'll see if the Buckeyes offense is up to the challenge of running against that good run defense, but also picking apart a suspect secondary and getting some yards through the air and put some points on the board. Iowa, as far as their offense, Jake Ruddock is the quarterback. He's a 6'3 sophomore, and he's thrown 8 touchdown passes this year in the 6 games, but he's also been intercepted 6 times. So he is very suspect to throwing the ball up for grabs or not reading defenses properly and throwing into double coverage, especially if you can get pressure on him. The Buckeyes have done a nice job this year putting pressure on the quarterback through the 6 games. They already have 16 quarterback sacks. If they can put pressure on Ruddock, there's an opportunity for some turnovers there via the interception or maybe causing some fumbles. The other guy to focus on for Iowa on offense will be their running back, Mark Weissman. 6 foot, 236 pounds. He's a bowling ball type running back. He's coming off an injury from the last game, but like the Buckeyes, they had the bye week, so they expect him to be ready. Has over 600 yards rushing this year, 3 touchdowns. Also, Damon Bullock is the other running back who does a little bit of everything. Carries the football and also catches it out of the backfield. So those are the two guys you have to worry about in the running game for Iowa. The wide receiver you have to be aware of is Kevontae Martin Manley. And he's a big play threat for them, not only catching the football, but also on punt returns. He has 2 touchdowns on punt returns this year, so the Buckeyes' special teams are going to have to be aware of Manley whenever he's on the field on offense or on special teams. So when you look at this game, it's a game Ohio State should win. They're favored by 16.5 points. It's at Ohio State. It's a 3:30 kickoff, so it's not a primetime game, but still a late afternoon game, and the Buckeyes should be up for this. I don't think think the extra week off will hurt them. I think it will have helped them because it will have helped Braxton Miller. And I expect the Buckeyes to go in and make it win number 19 in a row under Urban Meyer. I've got it Ohio State 41 and Iowa 17. Now let's turn our attention to Sunday when the Browns travel to Lambeau Field in Green Bay to take on the Packers at 4:25. They're 10-point dogs. And that's with no Randall Cobb at wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. A questionable, at best, James Jones at wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Clay Matthews is out with a broken thumb. His backup, Nick Perry, is out with a right foot injury. Running back James Starks is out. If there's ever a time that the Browns were going to upset the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, this would be it. I mean, think about this. As good as Aaron Rodgers is, he's going to have one proven wide receiver to throw the football to, and that's Jordy Nelson. Yes, he'll have Jermichael Finley at tight end, and that scares me because tight ends have been killing the Browns all season long, but you would think maybe Ray Horton and the Browns not only would pay more attention to Jordy Nelson, but maybe double up Jermichael Finley to see if Jarrett Boykin or Miles White can get open. Those are the other two wide receivers that Aaron Rodgers may be throwing to this week. So if you're the Browns and you're looking for an opportunity to get a Green Bay Packers team that is coming off a tough win against Baltimore and banged up, this is that opportunity. I mean, when you look at the Packers, they're fourth in the NFL in passing on offense, averaging 309 yards per game, but you're not going to have Randall Cobb and possibly James Jones to throw the football to. You've got one of the best corners in the NFL in Joe Hayden. You put him on Jordy Nelson, and this is just me. I would have a safety cover Jermichael Finley. I wouldn't put one of the linebackers on him, and you try and take away the strength of their offense, which is throwing the football. However, when you look at what they've done recently running the football, they're doing a much better job of that with Eddie Lacy, the rookie running back out of Alabama. He had 120 yards last week. He got dinged up, I think it was in game one, with a concussion. He's come back, and they have been able to run the football well this year, but that's the strength of the Browns' defense. The Browns, against the run, doing a great job this year. So you would think if that holds up, the Browns can maybe force Green Bay into throwing the football. And normally you'd say, well, you don't want them to throw the football. They'll kill you. That's what they do best. Yeah, if everybody was healthy. But they're not. So this could be an interesting matchup with the Browns defense against this Green Bay offense that is really dinged up. Green Bay is going to try and run it to take some pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. But in the end, what do they do best? They throw the football. And can Joe Hayden shut down Jordy Nelson? Can anybody, at the linebacking position or in the secondary at the safety position, cover Jermichael Finley or Andrew Quarles, I think, is the other tight end? We'll see. But it's an opportunity for the Browns to catch a Green Bay team that is really, really banged up. Now, that's on the defensive side versus a Green Bay offense. What about the Browns offense? Brandon Whedon coming off just a horrible throw. You heard on the radio this week, the song Flipper being played. That's his nickname from that terrible flip, fling, floater, that Antoine Jameson-style pass that he threw last week that was intercepted late in the fourth quarter. It was very costly in the loss to the Lions. How does Brandon Whedon bounce back from all the scrutiny and the pressure that'll be on him to perform this week on the road at Green Bay? That's what it comes down to. Willis McGahee, serviceable running back at best. Green Bay, very good against the run as well, just like the Browns defense. So it's going to come down to Brandon Whedon throwing the football against Green Bay's defense. And you would think there's a slight advantage there, like I mentioned, with Matthews being out and Nick Perry out for the Green Bay Packers at the linebacking core. Yeah, they still have B.J. Raji and some of the guys up front, but two key players are out for them in the linebacking core, and their secondary isn't the greatest in the NFL. Now, A.J. Hawk did have a huge game last week at linebacker for Green Bay in that win over Baltimore, 10 tackles and 3 sacks. So the Browns are going to have to be aware of where he is, but you're going to see probably Andy Mulumba, I believe is how you pronounce his name, and Nate Palmer, two rookie linebackers that are going to be playing in this game more than they normally do. So there's an opportunity, like I said, both on offense and defense for the Browns to exploit some of these injuries for the Green Bay Packers. Now, having said all of that, the Packers are going for their 11th straight win at home. somehow, some way, they find a way to win at Lambeau Field. They usually do, even with all the injuries that they have and everything that's gone on, where they're only 3-2 this year as they've lost to San Francisco and Cincy, but they beat Washington, Detroit, and Baltimore at home. They find a way to win at home, regardless of how dinged up they are. And Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, spent this week trying to figure out ways to make their offense work this week with some of those lesser-known players that'll be at the key positions. I look at this game from this standpoint. If Brandon Whedon does not turn the football over, and that's a big if, huge if, okay? But if Brandon Whedon and the Browns as a team do not turn the football over, I think they can stay in this football game. It's going to be, a game played in the mid to upper 20s, maybe low 30s. But if the Browns can value the football on offense and not turn it over at all and get a takeaway on offense from the Green Bay Packers to get an interception or a fumble or two, and hopefully come up with a big special teams play from Travis Benjamin, I think the Browns can stay in this game. Like I said earlier, it's an opportunity with a dinged up, a banged up, a hurting Green Bay team maybe to go in there as the underdog, Green Bay maybe overlooking the Browns, and shock the Packers. Having said all that, how do I see it playing out? I've got Green Bay winning this game 28-20 over the Cleveland Browns on Sunday up at Lambeau Field. So there's your Friday football forecast for the Buckeyes and the Browns.